This is George M. Landis speaking on What Saith the Scriptures. In our last message, we began a study of the magnificent 90th Psalm, a portion of the Bible which is generally heard read only at funeral services, but which has a vital message for us at all times. Let us read again these wonderful words written by Moses, the man of God. It begins, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Our previous message was occupied with these two verses, and we saw in them that the immutability of God is a comfort to his people. We observed the glory of God's name. We found that he is the habitation of his people. And we close by considering the eternity of his being, that from everlasting to everlasting, he is God. May we now read to the end of verse 11. In this portion of our psalm, we will see the frailty of man, the limitations of God's people. Verse 3, Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. In these verses, we have a series of declarations and demonstrations. We see first that man's times are in God's hands. Thou turnest man to destruction. Several words may need explanation. The word for man means frail or mortal man. It is an expression of inherent weakness. One may be robust one moment and a hopeless wreck the next. The word destruction is given in the margin as dust. How often we have heard the words uttered at a graveside, dust to dust. Each generation passes away and returns to dust. This dissolution and decay are the results of sin. In pronouncing the curse upon Adam, God said, Dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Please observe, it is God who turneth man to destruction. It is God who says, Return, ye children of men. The words might be paraphrased, Return to dust, ye children of men. And when God gives the command, none can avert obeying it. Yes, our times are in God's hands. The second thing we see in our portion is the timeless God and transient man. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Methuselah, the oldest man who ever lived, did not reach 1,000 years, but died at the age of 969 years. A millennium seems to us as almost an unending period of time. Yet to God, it is as yesterday. The Apostle Peter wrote, But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The eternal God who knoweth the end from the beginning, to the eternal God who knoweth the end from the beginning, time is one eternal now. In God's sight, Methuselah's long life was less than a day. Because man is transient, we notice in the third place man's utter frailty. Hear these solemn words. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. We can picture a cloudburst where a building in which some person is seeking shelter is violently swept away by the irresistible flood. How impotent is frail man when God calls him out of this world. He next says, they are like a sleep. Here that which was given for man's refreshment becomes an illustration of his death. We next see man's day. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. How beautiful is the morning of life, infancy, childhood, and youth. How full of promise, how bright are the expectations. Think of a green field in the springtime. Every blade of grass is full of life. Some of our listeners may now be rejoicing and enjoying the morning of life. Let me urge you to bring Christ into it. Receive Him as your Savior and turn over to Him your time and yourself. If you live for sin and self, your morning will end in mourning. Remember that every morning ends in an evening, and so with life's day. In the evening, the lovely grass is cut down and withereth. Its beauty and fragrance are gone. The grim reaper, death, has been cutting down generation after generation, and his scythe is as sharp as ever. Scripture tells us that it is appointed unto man once to die. Save for that generation of believers who will be living on earth when the Lord Jesus returns for his own, all of us must keep this appointment. There is no way to avoid it for frail man. Every cemetery is a mute witness to the truth of this verse. And now in the fourth place we will see that man is chastened by God. Verse 7 reads, for we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. The immediate reference is to the generation of Israelites that left the land of Egypt under Moses. We know how they incurred the wrath of God because of their constant murmuring and complaining against him. Israel was indeed troubled by God's chastening wrath. The word rendered troubled may be translated dismayed or panic-stricken. Many of God's people are panic-stricken when his hand is laid upon them in correction. But let us remember that chastening is an indication of God's love. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Like some in the past, too often, we have forgotten the exhortation, my son, despise not the chastenings of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. It is noteworthy to observe that Moses included himself among the people, as is indicated by the use of the pronouns we and our used in these verses. It took humility to do this. Let none think that they can escape God's rod by concealing their sins, for we read, thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. The sins we may think are completely hidden are well known to God. The light of his countenance, the radiance of his face, exposes our sin. Light is a comfort to the righteous, but a terror to the evildoer. Sinners love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil, our Lord declared. Our rapidly passing days and the shortness of human life then is brought to our attention. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The history of mankind is a volume of short stories. The story of any life may be very thrilling, very interesting, but how quickly it is told and the book is closed. The days of our years are 70. 70 years is still the normal expectancy of life. In a few months, your speaker will have reached that mark. How short the span seems, now that it is almost spent. Of course, some, by reason of extra strength, reach the fourscore. But what does that strength produce? In many cases, little but labor and sorrow. Solomon's searching of the words, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Every day we hear or read of many lives suddenly cut off. Truly none of us can tell what a day, nor even an hour, may bring forth, and we fly away. But whither do we fly? The real man leaves the body, the house of clay in which the soul and spirit have tabernacled. But where does he go? The word of God reveals but two destinies, heaven and hell. But how is my destiny determined, perhaps you are thinking? By your attitude toward the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who left heaven, came to earth, suffered and died upon the cross to save you and me from our sins. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Trust this wonderful Savior. Then you can face the end of life's story with confidence and joy. Then can you sing, when we reach our peaceful dwelling on the strong eternal hills, and our praise to Him is swelling, who the vast creation fills, when the path of prayer and duty and affliction all are trod, and we wake and see the beauty of our Savior and our God. Oh, twill be a glorious morrow to a dark and stormy day, when we smile upon our sorrow and the storms have passed away. We will read the tender meaning of the sorrows and alarms as we trod the desert, leaning on His everlasting arms. And His rest will be the dearer when we think of weary days, and His light will shine the clearer as we muse on cloudy days. As Moses reflected on the frailty of man and on the brevity of life, he breaks out in prayer to the eternal God. In our next broadcast, we will deal with his supplication, which closes the psalm. We hope you will be with us. This is George M. Landis speaking. Please remain tuned for an announcement to follow.